Somebody to church. It's good for us to be here. Come on, it's good for us to be here. Welcome somebody to church. Shake somebody's hand. Yes, a good hug. Come on, a warm hug. Warm hug. Good. A warm hug. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. It is good for us to be here. Together in the presence of God. It is good for us to be here. Really, really good for us to be here. I'm happy to see you. Come on, I'm happy to see all of you. Come on. And again, I think we need to give a special, special shout for those who have joined us online. Online. They should know, we know that they are there. And we love the fact that they are with us today, right now in the spirit. And we participated in the word of God and things of God together. Amen. I'm going to jump into my text because we started last week to talk about the good habits of a smart believer. The good habits, of a smart believer. And I began to say to you that it is important that we move from being, from thinking crude to going smart. I want to grow in the Lord. I want to serve God. I want to do things for God. The issue is that many times we now begin to go the crude way. That's what I'm talking about, the smart believer. That we need to become smart in this matter. We need to know how to not stress ourselves, but get results. Not do so much, but get results. And it's really possible. And if we are missing it today, because people, you literally need help to miss the things of God. People are helping us miss it. We are consciously decided to miss it. So we look for the harder the way, the surer we think. Oh, if it's hard, it means it's sure. So it makes it difficult. We make things difficult. We make the Christian life look as though it's unattainable. Have you done this, done this, done that, done this? Climb here, come down. Have you gone to the mountain? Have you done this? And so when you look at all that, you just feel, I can never really be all that God wants me to be. I can never really fulfill my destiny. I can never really see the power of God at work in my life. You know what it takes to see the power of God at work? We know you're qualified. Fasting all year round. And then, make it so hard. Because somehow, we think that if it's hard, it is working. Come on. You know, the church, early church had the same issues we had. Paul said, if somebody comes to you and tells you to do something very hard, not even the early church, Paul talked about that, but we go way back to Naaman the Syrian. If the prophet had asked you to do something very hard, you would have done it. But now he says for you to do something simple. What do you say to do? Dip 7 times into the river. He say, 7 times into the river. That's why I came all this way. The things of God are simple. And the moment, the time when you wake, open your eyes to see these truths, your Christian life will become sweet, interesting, and powerful. He never made it hard. Can you imagine when he came to die for us on the cross? He didn't make it hard for us to receive him. All we need to do is, Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I believe you died for me and you rose up again. And that simple, bam, you became a child of God. Did you see how simple it was for you to enter into the kingdom? This entering into the kingdom thing was not so hard, right? No, now when we get into the kingdom, we are not looking for hard things to do so that we can become powerful. So that we can get power or so that we can see the power of God in our lives. But I'm telling you now that there are simple habits, simple things that you can do and you will see your life will transform. Somebody says, there's this anger problem. Somebody says, it's a bad habit that you don't know, there's this thing I get involved in. Or somebody says, I'm not able to pray as much as I want. I'm not able to give as much as I want. I'm not able to serve God the way I want. I'm not able to do many things. And then the first thought is, what do I need to do? People always want to do something. But the only thing you need to do is, the things you need to do, actually, rather, There are simple things. I'm focused on one right now. I'm focused on the Word of God. I'm focused on reading the Bible. I'm focused on reading the Word of God. Are you here? Simple. The truth is, you are here and you are maybe thinking, I'm not growing, I'm not doing stuff and all that. I will ask you, have you really tried reading the Bible? You find that you've done many things, but you never tried that one. You've gone to many programs. If they say there's something happening in Jamaica, you are there. If they say one anointed is coming with fire, you are there. But you find that after some weeks, the thing seems to fizzle out. And somebody says, this Christian life is hard. I don't know how this pastor do. Somebody says, there's something else. Maybe there's a deeper, hard thing that I have not done. If I can only cut my body. You cut this thing. Yes, now. I grew up, my father used to say this thing. I don't know if it's funny, but he says, I don't know if I'm saying it right. It's Benin. He say, here you were, a man. What we know from it is, I'm going to give you a mark. You will remember this day. But you can mark as much as you like. The change has to come from inside. You can go to do as much as you want to do. Go here and there. Listen to everything. I mean, meetings are good. Go to meetings, but it's not about that. It's about, I know I'm talking about habits. Things you can do simply. You just keep doing them and they keep bringing so much big results in your life. It's so simple. Read the Bible. Some of us have really never really read the Bible. Never really. Open up our heart. Just read it. I'm not talking about, I've read the Bible. What are you saying? No. Don't miss it. I'm talking about, read the Bible on Monday last 4 years. Something like that. One Monday 4 years ago. No. I'm talking about regularly reading the Bible. Regularly reading. Just going from Matthew chapter 1. You read chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. You cover it. You go chapter 4, 5. Next tomorrow. Just keep reading like that till you finish the book of Matthew. Many of us have really never finished from start to beginning any book of the Bible. I mean, you can see. I'm trying to show you small. You say, these problems are small. My problems are big. No, your problems are all these small things. The book of Songs of Solomon, chapter number 2, verse number 15. It says, catch us the foxes. The little foxes that spoil the vine. That's what it says. These are causing problems. Small things. Nobody will just go and hit a rock. I always say, when I quote that verse, nobody stumbles on a rock. A big rock. Nobody just goes and stuff. But guess what causes problem? A small pebble. Come on. You see that Songs of Solomon 2:15? Take all the foxes. Huh? Which one? The little foxes that spoil the vine. Little foxes. Not big foxes. Small things. Sometimes just the small things. Many of the time, we may even try the small things. Again, part of this problem is our African culture. You just want quick. And so you feel that if you do hard things, you get quick solutions. Yeah, it might work, but why not just do, and you spend so much, why not just do something simple, small things? You don't need to spend, you don't need to suffer, you don't need to sweat, you don't need to travel to anywhere, and you get the change you want to see in your life. Come on, I would prefer that. That's as a smart believer. It depends on what you want. Come on. Remember old cassette tapes? I was coming just now preparing. I remember old cassette tapes where we would press, you would have to press those things down. They press the play button. I don't know, some of you might know, Gen Z, Gen W, Gen Y, Gen A. I don't even know any gen again. I just know we're all human beings. We're all gen things now. And then you press the thing to go, it has to go down, click. Then it now came with this, what we call soft touch. The buttons are there, you just touch it a little bit, and then to press. It's elevated a little bit, I don't know, I can't describe, I'm sorry. You press it, but you don't have to go so deep, you just press it there. Now, we don't even need to press anything. Your phone, you just touch things, and then they respond. I think the simpler, the better, the less stress. And we started with the Word of God last week. I began to talk to you about how just reading the Bible is powerful. It will change you. It will bring so much richness into your life. Just read, just believe me. Just believe these things. I know the challenge is that they are simple. Can we go? I know it's not on my notes. I didn't give that to you. But go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 13. Let me see. Is it 12 or 13? Where Paul says the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Okay, that's supposed to be in 1 Corinthians. I think it's in 1 Corinthians. Sorry. Let me see. No. It's not possible.
Jesus. Okay.
Sorry. Wait. Let me see this. I'm fond of these verses. 11. All right. Sorry. Chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians. Yes. Chapter number 11.
Can you get there?
Verse number 3. I need to look for it. So let's read together. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Simplicity. It's so simple. If, you know, he says, give your life to Christ. What do I need to do? He says, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I know, buy goats, move, kick goats, the knights, put down for junction. You know, imagine those days. They think they needed to buy candle. They needed to do something. But the Bible talks about the simplicity that's in Christ. It says, I fear. It's a challenge. Least by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, through his subtlety. So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. It's so simple. Christ is simple. If you are missing Christ, if you are struggling in Christ, somebody is helping you struggle. And if you say, take my hand, lead me, that's why he will lead you in astray. But if you follow Christ, you find that he's a very simple person. He's not complicated. He doesn't tax you. He doesn't put burdens on you. He just loves you. And you begin to love him back, you begin to change. No issue. You don't even have to try. And so what I'm sharing with you right now, there are simple things. Simple stuff. Read the Bible. Simple habits. These are habits that we as believers have never really imbibed. That's the truth. Many of us have not imbibed reading the Bible. Somebody can go a month without reading the Bible. Some of us have unfortunately gone maybe years without actually reading the Bible. Come on. The only time the word comes alive to you is maybe in church, somebody is preaching. And then if you miss, imagine you miss this Sunday, you miss Wednesday, you miss next week Sunday. You know that your whole cumulative Bible hearing at all will be like, will not be even up to 2 hours. A month has 4 Sundays. If you successfully miss 2, and you don't make midweek service, I'm not talking to everybody now, some people, you only have heard the word of God, or the things of God, been around God for what? Maybe 4 hours. In 2 weeks, defeat will not be far from you. Come on, are you here? This is a message trying to show you that the things you are missing are not the big things. Somebody said, "How did I do that thing? I don't even know how I did that thing. I don't know how I got there." I'm telling you, it's because you're not eating the Word of God regularly. Come on, I'm saying that now. I'm thinking about weight gain or weight loss. How did I gain this much weight? You didn't eat all the food once, but you were eating regularly morning, afternoon, evening, and sleeping. If you do that for some time, guy, you gain weight. How come something's happening to me? I'm just losing weight. Check, you are being stressed. And it's not just one day stress. Come on. Are you here? It's not one day stress. It's cumulative. So I'm talking about things you do just like that, small, with little effort. And your life is changing. Listen. And one of those things you can do like that is the Word of God. Some of us don't even have Bible. There are a lot of issues here. Well, you could have it in your phone, but reading from your phone will be very tough. Once you pick your phone, the next thing you consider is a social media something. You just go to one of those apps. So, while it's not bad to do some work on your phone, have your Bible installed in your phone, it would be beautiful if you could get a Bible. It's beautiful if you get a Bible so you can sit and read, and then you mark it. And maybe you take a Bible or a pencil and you are reading, and you see something, and you mark it. Boy, it's beautiful. And just like that, you say, is anything happening? No, the Holy Spirit will take those words and be changing you. They'll be working in your heart. You won't see it. It's not like when you are eating, you don't see the food, but it's working in your body. You know, sometimes I look at my son. When I take my phone, I'm going through pictures. I look at him. How did he become this one? We're talking to us. But you don't see it. It just grows by eating normal, regular, doing all that. So you won't see it, and maybe that's partly the problem, but that should not be a problem for us. We should know, we should have the consciousness whenever we come to the Word of God and we are reading it. Four verses, two chapters, one chapter, that something definite is happening in our hearts. I'm trying right now to elevate the Word of God again in our lives. Close the night, we just read Bible. There was a man of the Pharisees. I'm reading John chapter 3, verse number 1. He named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou teacher come from God. For no man can do the things, miracles that you do except God be with him. I'm reading out loud. But you think you read that and you walk away, you say, nothing happened to me. I am telling you that any time you come to the Word of God, it is something has touched you inside. You might not know it, but something has happened to you. Are you here? So we come to the Word of God. We must appreciate the Word of God, and that's what I'm trying to do for you. And remember, last week we looked at John chapter number 7. Can you just jump into John chapter number 7, where verse number 22, where they sent. I want to go over that so that we can quickly continue what we are talking about, the Word of God, and where it says in verse number 22, John 7, 32, yes. The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. So they went to arrest Jesus. So they said, guy, you officers go and arrest Jesus. Now move to verse 45. Let's see what they said. I mean, that's powerful. He said, then came the officers to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have ye not brought him? So the officers are like, guy, where the guy who said, Mona, go arrest? And then the next verse, that's what they said something powerful. The officer answered, never man speak like this man. They couldn't arrest him because when they heard him talk, they're like, nobody speaks life into you like this. Remember, we considered Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. I mean, the words that Jesus spoke that those guys went to listen to, and they said, nobody spoke like this. They're inside your Bible. You've not read the words. They even did it in red. When we started reading the Bible ages ago, everything was black. Now, all the words that Jesus said, apart from Jesus speaking from his mouth, they are all written in red in your Bible. So if you read those words, if you're reading the whole Bible, but if you read those words, I'm telling you, you will end up like this people. Nobody will ever talk to you the way Jesus will talk to you. Your parents can tell you are good, but Jesus will tell you are great. I have a plan for you. I love you. You are anointed. Go out, you do great things in your life. Greater is he that is in you than world. When you read those scriptures, you get confidence, you get built up. You can go into the world and face things and face life and you succeed. Say, nobody spoke like this man. And funnily, this man's words, they are inside the book. But we never turn to this man's words. We never turn to his words. We almost don't read the Bible. We can go 2 days, 3 days without reading the Bible. Come on. These things should change. Now, I'm not saying they should change and then I'm going to go back and hide somewhere. I'm going to tell you these things should change and give yourself a week of reading the Bible. Defeat will just become far from you. You will not be able to see defeat. You will not be able to see failure. Fear will start to evaporate. You know what it means for you to read maybe Daniel in the lion's den. I used that example last week. What can man do to me? Do your worst. My God will save me. Come on. I mean, you see the deliverance of God in the lives of the children of Israel. You know what? The Lord, when I was just praying and speaking the word over you last week, and the Lord said, he said, you walk through the Red Sea as through dry ground. Those images come to your mind. Sometimes even watching those movies, even with my kids, watching those movies, they're really very powerful. You know, last night we were just together and we're listening to some messages and all that, and we got to The Chosen. And we watched the miracle in The Chosen. What the miracle of the woman with the flow of blood, and how she came and she taught Jesus, and Jesus said, you are healed. And we watched from there, he went to Jairus' house, and then little girl, rise up. I said, Jesus, you are a powerful Jesus. The movie, I mean, again, what you watch. And that's, you see, this is no problems. We're doing so much. I mean, when I was done with that thing, is Jesus, you are so powerful. What can he not do? What can God not do? I mean, that woman was, having difficulties in her life. She couldn't move. She couldn't associate with people. I didn't watch the whole film. My wife is a fan of the movie. And she was thinking about how the woman went somewhere and was doing some chores for the man. The man said, blood, and you are unclean, unclean, unclean. But Jesus saved her from all that shame, all that embarrassment, all that issues. And I see and I love Jesus. You know, I'm not reading the thing. And then you go there. I mean, just keep, if you do those things, I mean, you are reading the Bible, you are because of Jesus. You are seeing Paul says, John says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You are seeing Paul says, he says, what did Paul say? You are more than conquerors. You're reading these things. They're giving you hope. They're giving you faith. And you can go into life and face difficulties and not be afraid. Are you here? Just reading the Bible. And so, again, last week, we went further. I told you about when the Bible says, we're not going to go all that. I'm going to quote the scripture and go in John 6:63, where it says, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So we say, when we're reading the word of God, what are we getting? We're getting spirit and we're getting life. Come on. You know, you read the word of God, you read about Jesus, and you read about Jesus, you read about Paul, you read about people who conquered this world, and you're reading about their faith and their love for God. You read Abraham. Can we? Many times we've not even read these stories. Abraham left his father, left his mother, left everything, and God didn't fail him. So when God sends you an assignment, guess what you are thinking? Abraham. I'm thinking, if you didn't fail that guy, you won't fail me too. I know the story. I read the story. I knew, I see how he went up, went through difficulty, but alas, today we are excited. He's gone. We are excited when we looked at his life. So I look at his life now, and I get, what do I get? I get faith. I get hope for my own life. Just reading Abraham's story. Where do you think faith comes from? Stories. Stories. These stories were written for us to go and read them and what our God has done before. Come on. These stories were written for us. When you read the children of Israel pass through the Red Sea. Come on. They walked through the Red Sea. Real. He delivered them by a mighty hand. Water by this side, water by the other side. And then they walked through. Is there anything that is too hard that you're facing? Let's say, imagine you are going through something and you are reading that kind of story. Come on. Are you here? Imagine you are going through something in your life and you are reading that story. What will happen? You believe. But you believe, you are running around to believe. You have not even read the Bible. You are running around everywhere to find belief. I'm telling you, faith is not even far from you. The word is near you. The word of faith. In your heart and in your mouth. Romans chapter 10. The words that we speak, they're near you. But you don't even read the Bible. And that's an issue. But the reason why we don't read the Bible is because we get challenged that reading the Bible is nothing. That is a big lie from the devil. And I'm here today. And you join us online. You listen to this message 10 years from now. I'm here today to tell you that is a lie from the devil. Reading the Bible is powerful. Just plain reading it. Just plain hearing the stories is powerful. It produces faith. Now, let me go back to a story I heard. I said just now. The woman with the flow of blood. She heard about Jesus. Abi? Heard. Just heard. How did she get a miracle? Where did it start from? Hearing. Hearing these things. Reading them or hearing them, somebody's saying them to you. It's the same thing. Come on. It starts by hearing. Just hear it. I mean, we played with this thing too much. Bible reading is nothing. And the devil has taken so much from us. And guess what? They tell you about... They tell you about study the Bible. I've always been an advocate of telling people to stop doing that study the Bible. I don't have an exam. I don't get an exam. I need a study. Meditate. You say, you talk about meditation. How can you meditate on something you have not read? How can you study something you have not read? Are you seeing where we lost it? We tend to go forward to meditation. And the Greek word for meditate. What about the Greek word for read Bible? We never read it. It begins with reading. After reading, you probably can now meditate. After much meditation, you can now move deeper into study. Somebody say, Pastor, I cannot study the Bible. I'm like, who asked you when you study the Bible? You don't read them. Somebody say, Pastor, I read chapter 4, 5, 8, 6, 6, I didn't really understand it. They read and they go. Just read it first. You don't get an exam when they want to ask you, what did you understand from chapter 5? Did you understand chapter 5? Guy, you don't get an exam. Just read them. So, where you understand, where you understand, read it first. Let me show you something in Luke chapter number 8. I think this would, we've gone through, but let me get here first. In Luke chapter number 8, the Bible says, okay, we're jumping straight to verse number 12, right? Verse number 12. Those by the wayside, this is the parable of the sower. Are you here? The parable of the sower. And he begins to explain the parable. Look at this. Look at this explanation in verse number 12. Please, stay here. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts. Why? Lest they should believe and be saved. You didn't get that. Those by the wayside are they that do what? Nobody talks. I mean, if you sit in front of me and you're not talking, I don't understand. Those by the wayside are they that what? Yeah. That hear. All they did was what? Yeah. Hear. But what does the devil do? He comes and takes away the word out of their heart because he knows that now that they have heard, the next thing is that, come on, they will believe. The first thing they need to do is to what? To hear. Before you can believe it, you must first of all hear it. Come on. And people are trying to believe it. And they want to study, they want to kill themselves, they've not even heard it. Sometimes, and my push in this teaching, in this word, is to hear and continue hearing. Remember I said habits? The habits. Make hearing a habit. Once you hear and you are hearing and you are hearing and hearing and hearing, guess what will happen? You believe. The devil comes to steal the word. But before he steals part of it, you hear. Come on. You hear again. You hear again. Guess what? The thing is tilted against him. More hearing, God's side. Less hearing, devil's side. Who will win? God's side. Many a times we hear all manner of nonsense. Somebody says, I'm battling with lust. Guess what? All the music you are putting in your ear, what are they singing? Oh, baby, to the club. You can't. There's no way. There's no way. Yeah. You do it and you say nothing. Your lust will kill you. There's nothing I can do. It's not negative prophecy. It's not anything. It's just nonsense you are doing. You can't be consuming poison and say, I will not die. It's crazy now. It's crazy. If you are taking something toxic into your mind space, what will be inside your mind space? Toxic. That's what will be there. Take your phones. What's there? Come on. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. You can't keep hearing dirty stuff and say, I'm good. Bible says a man cannot take fire in his bosom and not be burnt. It doesn't work. So you can't be taking all those things and not be burnt. But imagine you are taking these things. So, lust. Spirit of lust that you want them to cast away from you, that you are running from place to place to be cast away. Eh? Cut off the voice of the devil. Come on. Cut off all those nonsense. Then you are hearing the voice of God. Hearing the word of God. Hearing the word of God. What will happen with the spirit of lust? The spirit of lust, hunger will kill them. Hunger will kill the spirit of lust. Eh? Only by itself will waka come up for your body. You know, when I teach, I know that you'll not be popular because you prefer something hard. But I'm telling you, somebody say, don't you need deliverance? Truthfully, you don't. Truthfully. Do what I say first and come and challenge me. Do what I say first. Then challenge me. Tell me I'm crazy. After you have done it. Not just thinking, are you sure it will work? Do it first. You don't need anything. You don't need anything. Nobody needs to do anything. God is not crazy. This thing is powerful. You don't need help. Nobody needs help. This book of the law, it shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night until you observe to do all that is written there. Then what will happen? You will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. You don't need any help. You just need the word of God. You don't need anything. See, the spirit is very strong. You are not starving it. You're not starving it. Starve it. Feed on this side and starve the other side. Well, if you are feeding both sides, they will grow together. What say? I told you I read Bible. After you finish, then you go, and then you are in a place where they are saturated with all manner of negative, dirty contents. And you are there, and you are sitting there, and I say, hey, we are young people now. Yes, but I'm not going to do. What do you mean? To do? I will not. No, I just follow her. I follow her to where? Then you sit in that place. You sit down quietly one way, one place. And then I don't know, are they bad people or terrible? I don't even know what to say. When they see a fresh lamp, a Jew, a lady Jew, a church Jew that goes to the wrong place, she sits down there and says, no. How are you now? I said, fine. Then you adjust your skirt very well. Just skirt very well. But you are there. Then the guy says, this girl, I will get her. That's how message starts. Bomba. You still go to the next one. Go to the next one. Then Pastor. Pastor. I don't know how to say it. I know how to say it. My thought is this. Consume these things and see what will happen. Just consume it. You can't be reading the story of Rebecca. You can't be reading the story of Isaac. Bible says Isaac sold in that land. You can't be reading the story of men of faith. You can't be reading the story of Paul. You can't read the Acts of the Apostles. Huh? Don't read the story. You can't. If you are reading those stories, there are things that will be happening in your life. There are things you'll be expecting in your life. It's important. What I'm advocating for you now is very simple. I'm not advocating for you to bring money to me. I'm not advocating anything. I'm advocating the medicine. I'm giving it to you. Take the medicine. Read the Bible. Just be reading it. It says, the devil is bothered that they have heard. Because now that they have heard, least they should believe and be saved. It's not just talking about salvation to give your life to Christ. It's talking about to enter into another level. He can save you from poverty. Huh? Save you from destruction. That's what he's talking about. But the first thing they need to do, first of all, is to hear the word. And they hear the word, and they keep hearing the word. They hear the word of possibilities. So that's what's in the Bible. Do you know anybody in the Bible, anywhere in the Bible, where everything collapsed and then the person's life is miserable, no life, yeah, life? No. We don't have that. We see the God of possibilities. Someone says, things are hard for me. I say, look at the word of God. You will get wisdom. The word of God will alter your emotions. It will alter your goals, your the things, your longings. It will change you from inside. You don't need somebody to force. Somebody can forcefully change you from outside. Come on. Regulations. I don't know if you are still in church. I'm doing my best. Forcefully change you from outside. Don't do this. Don't wear this. Don't go this. Don't do that. Those regulations. But inside of you, you are still longing for those things. But when you start reading the word of God and you are hearing his voice talking to you, gently, no shouting, nothing. I mean, I can go shout for you. But the word of God cannot shout now. Just reading it. Just reading it. Just becoming like, why am I doing like this? It's not good. This thing is not good. Look at what the Bible is saying here. Eh? This thing is here. It says, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, said the Lord. He said, 1,000 will fall by your side, 10,000 by the other side. He said, but only with your eyes you will behold the word of the wicked. I don't believe anybody can touch me. It's not possible. Not really possible. He will give his angels charge over thee. I mean, you get scriptures from everywhere. I can leave anyhow. The word of God. Just from the word of God. So, will you just read it? This is a simple thing. But we've been deceived thinking that reading it does not do anything. So you need to do, after you read the Bible, go and do something. I think one of the things that make Christianity different from every other form of religion, we can argue Christianity is not a religion, blah, blah, blah. That's not my discussion. Is that in every other form, I have found something, and you can consider this, in every other form, and that's why when people reduce Christianity back to those forms, I think they are trying to help believers, trying to balance them, but we must mature beyond that. In every other form of religion, there's always something to carry. There's always something to take. Think about it. There's always sand to pack. Come on. There's egg to buy. There's something to rob somewhere. Have you not found that? There's something. Nobody goes to see Baba Baba and I say, I finished, go home. Never. Take this thing. Swallow this thing. Do this thing. Give him this thing. Do something. But we can come to our God and say, in the name of Jesus. We don't go back. We don't need to go back with anything. They didn't get that. They didn't get that. What makes Christianity different and simple is that we usually don't carry anything. Is that you can lock us in the desert, our God is still with us there. Deep inside the ocean, He is very much there with us. We don't need to say, I forget. They're not getting this part. I know it's tough. You know, somebody is somewhere and suffering. Say, I forget the handkerchief when I need to rob. No, we just say in the name of Jesus. You see, that's the difference. Check it. Nobody goes to anywhere. They give them something. They must do something. We don't need to. He takes His words and plants it as seed in our hearts. And from there, we can get any harvest we desire. But believers now are more interested in taking something. When we finish everything, I say, you are blessed. Go, you are blessed. Just imagine I have to pack sand for everybody in church every Sunday. We have to buy a tipper of sand to put for outside. Because we'll pack the sand finish sometime. And when we are not in a place where there's no sand, there's no grass, because we're growing a big church, where everywhere will be tiled, everything will be done. So, where are we going to get the sand or the grass? Okay, everybody, pluck grass. There will be no grass to pluck. I forget the handkerchief. You can't forget God. He's inside of you. His word is inside of you. Are you here? So, in the office, you know, did I use it today? You know, you can forget to take something. Don't have medications and forget to take the medications. I know Peter, you like doctor. I forget. You're not serious. But at the case, people can forget. And it's in their house. They bought it with money and forget. So imagine you are in a bus and then you need to pray. Somebody calls you, something happens, and say, "Hey, I don't come up for us. So I remember. Say, I know, rob the something. But the word of God, you know, you rob them. It's inside your heart, and that's one unique thing about Christianity. Hallelujah. They can never take our God and destroy our God. They can go to an idol man's house and destroy his idols, but they cannot destroy our God. That's what I'm telling you. Check it, think it. That's one powerful thing about Christianity. He says, I want to solve this problem. I'm going to live inside of your heart. So, it means anywhere you are, anything they do, anyhow they do it, you have the victory inside of you if you only recognize and know it's there. Thy word have I hidden in my heart. Or not sin against you. Hallelujah. We must hear the word of God first. It begins with hearing. Go to James. Let's do that. I'll jump quickly from there. I think we ended in the book of James just now. James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1 is going to be projected, so you can just take the scripture. Chapter number 1 and verse 23. This is my argument for hearing first. And hearing is principle. It's the first thing, right? It's the first thing. We need to hear first. It's from hearing that you can get believing. Come on. Everybody that came to Jesus for a miracle or for something, they first heard about Jesus. So if you have not heard it, you will not be able to believe it. Right? If you have not heard it, you will not be able to believe it. So just reading the Bible will open up your hearing to those stories. David faced Goliath with a sling and and Goliath came down. You hear that story, you read the story. Boy, you have some level of faith. Hearing is the first thing, and that is reading. So that's why I'm at. I'm trying to get you to read your Bible. So I think I've done some work, but how many people read their Bibles now? I don't want to look. So that you don't go and break my heart. But I mean, the real secret is in just reading the Bible. That's the real secret. You see how secret it is? It's in front of you, kind of secret. The kind of secret that's in front of you. The secret. See, Pastor, tell us the secret of your life. Read the Bible. I've finished the book several times. Somebody says, you know what, you're thinking, I want to pray. Abby? I want to pray. I'll get to prayer maybe next week. If you do your face well, I'll finish this book today, reading Bible today, and get to prayer next week. But if you don't do your face well, I won't finish this work today. I know the way some of you are doing your face now, I won't finish it today. It's never really my fault, it's your fault. You don't nod your head. You don't say, You say, preach. Say, if you are doing like that, I just say, I think they've gotten it. You deceive me into going. But I don't go because when you are looking, I have to, I preach it more. Amen. But reading the Bible, come on, I want to say this. Reading the Bible will help you pray. Because when you get to the place of prayer, you know, many a time you don't even know what to say. I'm not crazy. I started with this first. And I might do this for more than I planned. Because Christians play with reading the Bible. I don't know how it happens, but today nobody even opens Bible to read. I know what I'm saying. I know what I am saying. You don't read it. You just we reduced it to the time when you come to hear me teaching the Bible. And you say, Pastor Riel is a great Bible teacher. Anytime I come to church, I'm blessed by the teaching, instructions, light come, I'm amazed, it's changing me. That is good. And grace follows when I teach. Grace comes with it. But imagine you can go and continue by yourself. It's like somebody takes you out. I like you. Let's go out on a date. And then you get out on that date. And then you eat. And then do all the work. Pay for the meal. And you eat as much as you can eat. But you can go home. That evening. You are full. You might not need to eat that evening. Oh, this guy just spoiled me. But in the morning, uncle, you will not eat again. Wouldn't it be better if you have rice and garri and tomatoes and stew in the house? Because in the morning you have to say, all right, James took me out yesterday evening. Today it is Benedict's turn. Hello, Benedict. I'm available. I'm ready now. Take me out in the morning. They can keep taking you out, but how much out can you go for 360? But if you have tomatoes, garri, rice, you can eat in your house. So taking you out is good. You eat good food, quality food, all manner. But eating in your house, it might not be as quality as what you take out. You might not benefit as much as when I teach you. Right? I agree to that. But you will get something. I don't know. I'm trying to help you as I can. Read your Bible. Somebody say, but you are teaching us the Bible. It's not enough. After I finish today, I'll come again on Wednesday. Maybe your zonal leader will tell you one thing, then finish. So if you want to pray, reading the Bible is the first thing for a believer. I'm talking about the smart believer now. Come on. I'm making this church smart. No, we have smartphone, smart TV, smart houses. Now, guess what? We have a smart church. Woo! Smart church. The first smart church in the whole world. Come on. This is a smart church. A smart church does what? What do they do? Come on. Smart Church reads the Bible. Amen? All right. I said, just go with Hebrews quickly. Hebrews chapter number 1, verse number 23. We looked at that last week. I want to jump to do two other verse stuff today. So if you don't allow me to do this, you know, man, you're kidding me. Hebrews chapter number 1. We looked at the last verse. Verse number 23. James. It's James chapter number 1, verse number 23. But whoso looketh at the perfect law of liberty, right? For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Right? Verse 24, go on for next verse. For he beholded himself and went his way and straightway forget over what manner of man he was. Am I too fast? I'm sorry. For he beholded himself and went his way and straightway forgetted what manner of man he was. Next verse. But whoso looketh to the perfect law of liberty and continued therein, he being not a forgetter, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. In his deed. And now we consider that scripture, and then we immediately we jump from to doing the work. We did this work last week. I'm just trying to put everybody together. We jump to he should be a doer of the work. But the first thing is that he should hear first. So we see he should hear. He doesn't forget, then he does. So the principal thing, the first thing for everybody is to first of all hear. I've tried to establish that last week. And you hear from when I'm preaching, and you hear from when you are reading the Bible. Faith comes by hearing. There's that hearing component there. And if you're not reading the Bible, you will not have faith. A lot of believers are running here to here, and they're just troubled. If you are troubled in your life right now, wherever you are, I am challenging you to get into reading the Bible and see if that trouble, that anxiety will continue. Come on. Hearing the words of Jesus. Can somebody sit with Jesus? I'm hearing the words of Jesus and be anxious. I'm be worried. I'm rolling on the floor. It's not possible. That's my love. Now, go with me to the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 20. Yes, let me do something more. Where is it there? Why do this? Okay. All right. Are you here? If you've gone home, say amen. All right. The truly smart church. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Paul says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. When you get to God, he himself will still have to give you his word. Because Paul says, I commend you to God. One. And to the word of his grace. I take God's hand. Hear God's word. People when take God's hand, until they hear God's word. Because people miss it. Just think if you sit down there and you refuse to hear anything, you take God's hand. Paul says, I want me you take God's hand. I want me you see the hear God's word. This principle that believers open their heart to what I'm teaching. I know what I'm teaching is simple. Say, Bible, read Bible. Oh, read down now. Read down. Verse with me. Say, I talk simple thing. Do the simple thing while I talk first. If I'm speaking preaching too much, this Pastor Nkechi. She does. Too much. Do the simple thing first. Because read Bible. Hey, read. But the problem is that you can even live here now and still not go and read it. That's why I'm using. I see our scriptures. We have to move. But because this thing gets in, you read. I know. You say you have any read the Bible, pray every day, but you didn't read it. Abi, if you don't answer me now, I'll vex. You don't want to confess, Abi. Read your Bible, pray every day. Read your Bible. I want to grab it. All of us want to grab it.
this week, how many chapters did you read?
It still comes. So I pray that as we're looking at this right now, and I believe, and I know, and that's what I want to show you now, that there's grace along with it. You will find you are reading the Bible now. In the name of Jesus, I believe God for you, for your life, that you will begin to actually read the Bible. This will not just be knowledge for you. In the name of Jesus. When we read the Bible, when we come to God, we must also come to the Word. And His Word has grace. So anything you are reading in the Bible, I want to tell you something very powerful. Very powerful. Are you here? Anything you are reading in the Bible, and that's why all those stories you are reading, eh? Are you here? No, I'm not. I know what I want to say. I want you to be here. The best way, a simple way, a sure way to carry grace, is to read the person's story. If you want the grace of Joseph, you want Joseph's grace, read Joseph's story. Anytime you are hearing something, you are reading the story of Joseph, the grace of that man enters into you. Same thing. You know why, I'm asking you, he gave us different people with different stories? So we can get many graces entering into our lives. I stopped. Please, you guys, I don't know if you get that. Read, when you read the story of Elijah, the prophet Elijah, the grace of that prophet, the way he did the thing that moved him, that same thing, it will find its way entering into you. When you now read Joseph, guess what will happen? That thing will also enter into you. That kind of Joseph thing. When you read Daniel, that spirit of excellence, you begin to get it. Because there is something about the word of his grace. Every word has a grace following it. Celebrating grace, I celebrate grace, sir. I celebrate grace, ma. I don't have a problem. Celebrate all the grace you like. If you want the grace to enter into you, hear that person, and that grace will enter into you. You continuously hear it, and the grace will enter. You get the same results like that person is getting. If you want to get Joseph results, I know you rather I take oil and rub the anointing of Joseph on your head. I can do it. I have oil in my office. It's there. They can bring a bottle of oil. I will rub anointing of Joseph on your head. But I will tell you that the grace of Joseph can enter your life by reading the story of Joseph. You find that Joseph's story is different from Daniel's story. Why? Different grace. Elijah was calling down fire like nothing. Joseph didn't see fire. Moses was parting Red Sea. Come on. This one is a powerful truth. I don't want to rush it. Do you understand what I'm saying? All those stories, say, I'm your reading story. Read the story. Do you understand? The thing we enter, there's the word of God. And so, in the story, the grace we enter. So, but I read the story, I already know the story, and I read it, nothing happened. No, I'm saying grace happened to you. We've read it several times now. Why are we reading it over and over again? We are reading it over and over again so that the grace can land. Every time you read the story of the children of Israel, as they passed through Red Sea, as they gathered together and passed and came out, there's a grace for breaking through coming to your life. We can carry oil and rub breakthrough anointing on your life, but you can get breakthrough anointing by reading the story. If I bring the oil, it might be faster. You believe faster than what I'm telling you now. You know, so it's like, the children of Israel passed through Red Sea. Okay, go and read that story. Read it every day. Read it every day. I challenge you. Read it every day. Nothing will stand in front of you. Nothing. Just that part. I didn't say the whole thing. Just read that part. From when they left and they were going, the enemy came, they passed through Red Sea, and they sank on the other side. Just read those few chapters.
Nothing will stand in front of you. Nothing. That same grace of passing through Red Sea, it will land upon your head. You will embody it. Challenge will come. That challenge in front of you will begin to look like the Red Sea that is parting. You will begin to pass through it. That grace will come upon you. I'm saying now that when we read the Bible, there's grace of the word coming to us. Healing and deliverance in your life can come into your life by just merely reading the Bible. That same grace will begin to enter in and begin to cause things to change in your life. Are you here? That same grace, that's what you could call that same anointing. Read the story of Daniel and not carry anointing of excellence. It's not possible. So, I'm trying to say here, especially in the Old Covenant, when we are reading stories, that those stories are good stories. They cause us to enter into our lives. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. All right. We're running out of time. Just quickly go to... did we do John 14 last week, where I talked about the Holy Spirit helping bring things to your remembrance? I didn't turn that scripture. I quoted it. Okay, can we just do this? Since I quoted it, let's just read it out so that we can cover that and go. When I'm teaching, there's grace coming. But when you are reading the Bible, there's also grace coming. So that grace. The grace of what you are reading. But the Comforter, verse number 26, right? But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So the first thing is that they have heard it, and then the Holy Spirit will now remind them. So the first thing is to hear it. It's important that you know. Many of you don't know the stories. You don't know where the stories are in the Bible. You don't know stuff. You need to start doing that. That's the first thing. That's the foundation for a smart believer. Come on. That's a good habit to know where the stories are. If we say, you know, there's this thing we always quote in the Bible. This thing that people always quote. I've stopped doing that. Do not despise the days of little beginning. There's no scripture like that. You find that in the study of the word, growing up in Christ, we thought that there was a scripture that says, do not despise the days of little beginning. There's no scripture that says, do not despise the days of little beginning. The scripture says, who are despised the days of little beginning? There's a difference. I'm trying to make a point. And sometimes we quote things that are not even in the Bible because somebody said it that way. Because we never even read the thing by ourselves. That's the problem. So, why it is powerful, I want to give you one small reason. I'm getting out of here just now. You're getting tired. I want to give you one small thing. Why it is powerful that you read the Bible is also you are able to now cross-check what you are hearing also. Right? You're reading the thing. You read the thing, come say these things, you know, this is what I'm reading, it's in line, it's in line. You know, so because believers today are so deceit. Anybody can climb up and say anything because they've not even read the book. They say what the book did not say. And they are doing it. And to what pastor? And I'm saying, no, you don't need to look at what the Bible says. What? Seriously? You never read the Bible. That's why they could take advantage of you. People take advantage of people today through really pulpit because they just use the Bible. The same things are not there. All right. Hallelujah. I want to go. But let's go. You see, in John 14, 26, you can just get out here. Go to John 14, 26. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. So, the Holy Spirit will help you, right? He will help you. He will teach you these things. Bring, you know, one of the things, let me tell you something that happened to me. I mean, I think I said I would say this, but the story of Joseph. When I've done several hours of money, business, and economics, and this is that. I read the story where the lean cows came out, and then the fat cows came out, and then the lean cows came and ate the fat cows and all that kind of stuff. Plenty, 7 years of famine. And it is from that story, from a story like that, the Lord just said to me sometimes, He said, see, there's going to be up and down times. You must know how to manage money. there's so much money flowing in your hand, keep and save some part of it. So that when you'll be able to use some money you have saved to go through times. From that story, I mean, we'll gain wisdom from the word of God. Wisdom. It has really been very pivotal in my life. And I tell people, and everybody, there's no time. I challenge people. Many times I'm able to challenge people because of the things that I know. It's just, I mean, there's always that time when I see there's rush in your hand. Red money is coming, piece of stuff, that stuff. What do you do during that time really matters. And imagine the Lord told Joseph to build storehouse and to save. And then Christians, if we don't read those stories, we might not even get simple basic wisdom for our life. Basic wisdom for your life. By the, that's why I say he will teach you of his Holy Spirit will speak to your heart when you are reading the thing. He will not teach you. But if you're not reading it, how will he speak to you? What will the Holy Spirit remind you of? Come on. He said he will also bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. But if you didn't hear what he said, can he bring anything to your remembrance? So what is the first thing? That's the first thing. I just pray that this, that you even if you don't want to do it for sake of reading the Bible, is nothing. Do it to try me. People have, you know, I'm telling you, you can maybe, I need to do a check, I need to do a search, and now with this, I'll be checking some things online, I'm putting them online. Online, not Bible or anything, quotes. You will see it by yourself online. I'll do it. People have read the Bible to critique it, and they gossip. Several. When they sit down with the Bible, they are reading it to say, this is nonsense, this is nonsense. And from reading it to find fault with God and this our Jesus people and all that, many of them gossiped reading the Bible. I'm telling you, real statistics, real truth. Say, I was reading the Bible to find fault inside. But the more I read, the more I could not stop. The more I read, the more I met this man called Jesus. I couldn't believe that this man was here and I did not know. And immediately I turned their heart. To critique the Bible. Because now, fortunately for them, they gave the Holy Spirit tools to use to convict them. They gave the Holy Spirit tools to use to convict them. Truth. It's the epic stories. You know, imagine. So when we read this story, we give the Holy Spirit tools to hearts. He can't walk in your heart if you don't read the stories. That's the truth. Give him the tools to work with. He will come and tell you, remember, you know, you have something just happened. You say, remember how I did. Don't let this thing get to you. It's not over. You know, come on. Like just like Jairus, where we were watching yesterday, and the woman came and slowed Jesus down. Jesus had to stop. Who touched me? Then he came and said, Jairus, your daughter is dead. She was hoping that Jesus would follow him. Now she's dead. And Jesus turned to him and said, only, do not be afraid, but only believe. See, remember what I said to Jairus. See, but you are bothered, you want to fear, want to start rising. Do not be afraid, only believe. Holy Spirit can use it to speak to you if you have read the thing inside the Bible. I want to now beg you. I'm tired of talking. It's to beg. The way I'm looking at some of you, I have to literally beg you. Read the Bible, I beg. Say that would I be faster. First of all, you for your beggars, no, read Bible. I beg. They say I should take God. God, say my take him, they beg you. My beg una. If God land for you, I go open. I just think I should beg you. It's so beautiful. It's the best thing you can do with your life. This Christianity is not hard. Those passions will start to die if you start reading this book. So see this pastor, you see, he used to do me. Start reading Bible. It won't do you. It will die. It will come. It will die. Small, it will die. Starve it. When you start eating this thing, all those other ones will die. The ones you want to cultivate, this book will help you cultivate them. Right? You want to be a giver. You want to love God. You want to serve God. You want to do all that. All those people, they are inside this book. Cultivate them. They help you. Right?
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Can we bow our heads this morning? Father, we're making a commitment again. I now know what I should do. I'm reading the Bible. It's not about how long we stay here. 2 hours.
But the basic thing is to read the Bible by yourself in your house. You can go today and start reading. And you say, I'm going to pray this morning. Lord, I make up my mind to read the Bible. I read the Bible from today. From today. Jesus, I know you will help me to read. We're not talking about study. Lord, I know it will be hard for me to study, oh, Baba. But Pastor has said I should read. And tell him you want to, he will help you. I want to read the Bible. My spare time at work, when I get home in the evening or morning, I just want to read the Bible. Help me, Lord. Would you say help me? Tell him.
Tell him to help me.
No more laziness. No more laziness. I make up my mind. You strike when the iron is hot. I make up my mind. I'll read the Bible. I'll spend time reading the Bible. It's not about how many chapters you can cover a day. It's about the fact that you read it every day. Every day. I'm committed. Every day. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Can I pray for you? Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray for your children. I speak right now over them. And I speak right now that a passion, a hunger for your word is upon them now. In the name of Jesus, they are driven to read the Bible. They are driven to read. They are driven to hear your word. In the name of Jesus, all these ones, they long for you. They long to hear your words. In the name of Jesus, sweet Holy Spirit, as they read, you teach them. In the name of Jesus, a fire right now, a fire for the word, a fire to read the word is bettered in your heart. In the name of Jesus, I and they that God has given me, we are reading the Bible. We are growing in faith. We are growing in strength. In the name of Jesus, you are going out strong. You are coming in strong because you read the Bible. In the name of God, the word of God is making you wise. It's making you wise. You are walking in wisdom according to the word of God. In the name of Jesus. Yes, and there are people who are wondering, what's happening? He's now so wise. He's now so wise. The way he answers, you know, they talk too much. You know, they do it to someone. And they don't know that it's not something powerful. It's just does something so simple and so powerful that you are reading the Bible. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You are walking in wisdom because you are reading. Walking in purity because you are reading the Bible. You are walking in power because you are reading the Bible. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Say thank you, Jesus.